Welcome to Thrive Church Online. We are here to know God, to grow in Him, and go. We hope you feel encouraged and equipped through this week's message.
Because here's the thing, I think, and we've talked about this a little bit before, but have you ever had somebody tell you something about somebody else and it ended up totally not being on point? I took a church as a youth pastor years ago, and I had this guy call me like, man, I've not even preached a service at the church yet. And this guy calls and goes, hey, man, hey, I need to talk to you. And he volunteered to take me out to eat. Now, here's the thing that you need to realize. If I ever get abducted, it's because somebody told me they would take me out and buy my food. Because if you're buying, I'm flying. You know what I'm talking about? Like, we talk about whatever you want to. Probably going to say no, but it's okay. Just buy my Chick-fil-A. And so we got to eat, and this guy started telling me, he's like, hey, there's this lady, and she's on youth staff, and you need to fire her and get her off the team because she's too old, and she's mean, and she's all this stuff. And I was like, you know, we'll just see where we land. Well, I got to know her, and this lady ended up being, she's gone on to be with the Lord now, but she was like a second mom to me. She was just phenomenal. Like she loved Jesus. She had a gift for accounting. I gave her the checkbook and said, let me know what I can spend. One time I spent too much money. I spent more than we had in the checking account. She made it go away. I still don't know how that happened. I don't know if she wrote a check, Jesus multiplied, you know, Benjamin's. I don't know how it happened. But I got to her and she's like, you know, I gave you the checkbook and you kind of, I'm like, I got vision. She said, yeah, but you don't have money. So the point is that sometimes we see people and they tell us that something's one way or somebody's one way, but when we actually get to know them, they're totally different. And I think that people do that with Jesus all the time. So here's what we did. We put the cross under this sheet, and what we're going to do is over the next couple weeks leading up to and into Easter, we just want to reveal who the real Jesus is. Because here's what I guess. Here's what I think. I think that there are people who are in here that probably know a version of Jesus that somebody else told you about. And they told you that he was some kind of way and had some kind of thoughts about something that probably isn't true. And the difference between walking authentically with God and walking in a pseudo relationship with God or a fake relationship with God is knowing who you're really in relationship with. Anybody ever gone out on a date and it did not go the way you thought it would? You ever been on that horribly wrong date? You ever been on that date that as soon as you shut the car door, you wondered if you ran away, if she'd just get out and go back in the house? Okay, maybe I'm the only one. I got people in here not saying anything. I know why the married dudes aren't saying anything. Single guys, y'all are leaving me out to dry. Because you know you've been out. Anybody ever been out on a date? And I'm just talking to guys now because I don't know what girls. And she starts talking and like 2 minutes into it, you're like, I just wish you'd come back, Jesus, right now. Because I got men in the back going, praise the Master. Because people aren't what you thought. Here's the other thing. In today's culture, most of the time, women's eyelashes are fake. Thing. They got makeup now that'll cover every divot, bump. They make airbrushes now for makeup. It's an art project. It's like Bob Ross for your wife. Gonna make a happy tree, right? Like, I don't. You ever seen somebody with makeup and you're like, they are good looking. And then you see them without it and you're like, oh dear, your goodness. Because things aren't always what you think. And here's what I wonder. I wonder if we, as we look into Matthew 4, chapter 1 through 11, if maybe Jesus isn't exactly what we think. So this is the story of Jesus' temptation, in case you can't tell by the video. And here's the way it reads. In Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, it says, "And Jesus was led up by the wilderness, led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry." That's like the duh moment of the century. Listen, I'm hungry 5 minutes after I declare a diet, let alone a fast. Jesus fasted, probably only drank water for 40 days and nights. Scripture said, and he was hungry. Yeah. Can I just say this? That sometimes what's wrong with you is you just need to get a sandwich and a nap. A sandwich and a nap solves 80% of your problems. I can't hear from Jesus. Go eat a sandwich, take a nap. I don't know what to do in this situation. Go eat a sandwich, take a nap, get back up and pray about it. You'll see the world through a whole different slant. You know what? I'm ready to choke my spouse out. Go eat a sandwich, take a nap. The world will change. And so what happens is this, is after 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus was hungry. Because here's what I figured out, is that the enemy will always attack you when you're in need and in lack. You want to figure out where the devil's attacking you at? Figure out what you're afraid of losing. Figure out what's frustrating. Have you ever had somebody push your button? Like this, like somebody cuts you off on the interstate and you're like, just a closer walk with thee, but you never ungrit your teeth. But then you get to the family event that you were driving to and that relative is there. You know, the one that just lights your fuse 3 seconds into it. Or somebody says that stupid thing. Or maybe you walk into a restaurant and you get the one waitress that's ready to be fired. See, here's what I've learned, is the enemy knows right where to attack you when you're your weakest. You ever wonder why when one bad thing happens, another bad thing, and another bad thing, and you're like, God, what more can I take? And then another bad thing happens, and you're like, have you forgot about me? Here's what we need to understand, is that if you remember the beginning of this, it says, and he was led by the Spirit. God doesn't make bad things happen to you, but sometimes he allows you to go through things so that you become open-fisted. Anything you're closed-fisted back, you're contending with God over. If I look at you and I shake my fist, like, I mean, me, you're probably not. But if somebody else did it, you know they're ready to fight, right? I do it and people laugh. They're like, what do you want, Pastor? You know, but somebody's, I was talking to my man there. We were talking about watches, and he's a big dude. Like, his wrists are twice mine. If he shakes his fist at you, you're gonna be concerned. Here's the thing. I wonder how many times we shake our fist at God with things that what God is really wanting us to do is be open-handed about. It's like this, God, I'm trying to hold on to this relationship and it's just not working. And God's like, that's the problem. You're not letting me handle it. Man, I really need to get my finances in order. And God's going, get your finances in order. But don't try to hold on to your finances so tight that God's not in control of your finances. Hey man, my kids, I just want to choke them. I just want to hold on to them because they're making dumb decisions. Can I say this? Yeah, steward them. Yes, parent them. But you also have to remember that your babies were God's babies before they were yours. Like, can we just get open-handed with God? So what happens is Jesus is in this place of temptation. Verse 3, it says, and the tempter came. That's not a shock. It says, the tempter came to him and said, if you're the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. Again, Satan just wants to attack where you're the weakest at. Now, can I pause? Satan is not all-knowing. He doesn't know what you don't tell him. Stop telling everything you know. Anybody ever made their wife mad and you knew she was mad and she didn't say anything? You know, the new TikTok thing is say it without saying it. Tell me you're a golfer without saying you're a golfer. Tell me you're mad without telling me you're mad. If her arms are folded and her foot's wiggling, she's mad at something. If you ask her something and she answers with a man grunt, somebody's done something. If you come home and your clothes are burning on the front yard, you've done something, right? Like, there's, so here's the thing. when the enemy comes at you, he only knows what you say, how you act, how you respond. If you really want to walk in victory, you've got to stop responding to everything that goes on in your life. You got to stop reacting. And you got to start talking and trusting God with it. Like, hey, Bo, you're making me mad. Can I just say this? One time I tried to bait my wife into a fight. I was out mowing the yard. It was a brand new mower. The mower shut off. I couldn't get it running. I did everything I could think of. I kicked it. I yelled at it. It still wouldn't work. No, because it was new. It was old. I hit it with it. You know, I hit it with a log. It didn't bother me. New one, I'm just, you know. So I come in and I'm frustrated. So what do I need to do? Hurt people always hurt people. That's why God says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. The person you're contending with is not what you're contending with. You're contending with rulers and wicked and spiritual places. So stop reacting like everybody else reacts and start reacting in the Spirit of God. And so I come in and, dude, I'm on. And, you know, there's stuff that you can say that'll cause a fight. Till you're in here cooking like your mama. Because I smell something burning. That's good for an argument. My wife, she never even looks up. She's at the stove. She's doing whatever she's doing. And she starts talking to Jesus about me. Out loud. Dear Heavenly Father, will you please forgive my husband because I've forgiven him for the foul spirit that he's walking in. But God, I know that he was your son before he was my husband. So if you will you have a talk with your son? Will you correct his foul heart and let him begin to bear fruit of the Spirit so that you don't have to cut him down and throw him into the fire? A spirit of repentance fell upon my heart. Because here's what I figured out. The enemy will always attack you where you're the weakest. But your response is your victory. In the way that you mirror Christ. Let's watch this. So he says, look, turn these stones into bread. And Jesus answered, he said, but it's written, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Now, this is a quote, right? Here's the thing. I always wonder why Jesus did, like in this passage, Jesus is going to drop verse after verse after verse of Scripture. But he's the Son of God. Now, can we put the devil in right perspective? People want to make devil all-powerful. Uh-uh. The devil was a choir director. Not a bouncer. Not a warring angel. Here's what Scripture says. One, that he was beautiful. And that he made beautiful music, worship music, right? But he was rebellious and God had to give him the boot. Now, I don't know what churches you've gone to that have had choir directors. I've never seen a studly choir director. I've never seen somebody with like a six-pack, giant arms, like looking like the Rock directing the choir. Can I get a witness? Most of them look like you could sponsor them for 25 cents a day. And that ASPC music should be playing in the arms of the angels. Right? Like, that's the dude who leads the choir. So like, Jesus... It said this, that God cast him out of heaven. He got rolled up. I love that when the story of Job starts, it said that Satan came in the presence of God and God went, hey, where have you been? It's not because God lost track of him. He was putting him in his place. Satan didn't want to answer. Have you ever had somebody ask you something you didn't want to tell them, but you had to tell them because they had authority over you? That's the beginning of the story of Job. So what happens is this, is where do you put the enemy in your life? Jesus could have just looked at him and said, look, I'm Jesus, the Son of the living God. You got to go. But he chooses to respond with Scripture. Why? Because Jesus wanted to set a paradigm in the way that God works and how we handle the enemy. And that's through the written Word of God. Why? Because it's the authority. If Jay's the popo. If Jay wants to come knock on your door, he can knock on your door. But you know the only way you got to let him in? With a warrant. The word of God is our warrant to go into the enemy's camp and take whatever we want, to do whatever we want to him. Does that make sense? Like, look, I can do what I want to because I got a warrant for your stuff. So here's what happens. Jesus said, look, man, we live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Verse 5, and then the devil took him to the holy city and set him up on a pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it's written, he will command his angels concerning you. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. First of all, this is twisted scripture. Satan takes a verse and puts it way out of context. Not twisted sister, twisted scripture. Right? Why is this important? Why does God allow the enemy to try to twist the scripture when he talks to Jesus? Because Jesus is about to teach you a lesson. You got to know the word for yourself. You can't go by what your grandma taught you. You can't go by what your spouse does. Why is it important for you to get up and have a rhythm of connecting with God at the beginning of the day, hopefully the middle of the day, but at least at the end of the day? Because, man, you got to be taking the Word of God in. Now, don't try to make it some super spiritual, like, no, ran out of oxygen. And get back to the gym. Can I just be honest? Sometimes I have these really amazing dates with my wife. Sometimes we just sit on the couch. Both are special. They're just special in different ways. Sometimes when I connect with God, it's like this really like amazing exchange. Sometimes I'm just like, God, I need you to drop some truth into my life. I need you to correct me. I need you to forgive me. I need you to direct me. I need you, like, can we just have a talk? Like, I need to. And when I begin to read the word and Jesus is like, hey, I need you to turn the other cheek. I'm like, okay, what else do you have to say? Because that ain't working. Don't repay evil with evil, but repay evil for you. Can I just say this? You can't out nasty nasty. Why do we try? Why, when somebody does something evil to you, do you start plotting on them? Why don't you just go tell God on them? I'm not saying out loud in front of them, but if you want to, you can. But do you hear what I'm saying? Like, what if we really began to engage in a real Jesus in a way that really impacts our life? So Satan twists scripture and he says this. He begins to attack Jesus in pride. He said, if you're the Son of God. In our world, it looks like this. Well, if God was real, he would. Well, if God was real, he wouldn't. And here's my thing. Who are you to tell God anything? His ways are not my ways. Because every time I've ever told God to do something, he laughed. You know what you need to do, God? And he's like, oh, please tell me. Please tell me, Adam. Because let's be honest, you were here at the beginning. You spoke everything into existence. You died for all these people. You tell me what I should do. You ever had your kids in all their, especially when they become teenagers, in all their infinite wisdom tell you something? You know, if I was a parent... If you had a brain in your head right now, you would just, sorry, teenagers, I didn't mean it to be insulting, but it's true. You ever notice that when you were a teenager, you knew everything, but the older you got, the smarter your parents became? Because their ways were not your ways. Their ways were higher than your ways. They understood stuff that you didn't understand. They saw the way the world worked in a way that you don't. So when we sit and we talk to God and we try to tell God what to do, that's not the way it works. Now, we can bring our petitions to God. Hey, God, this is the problem I need you to solve. But you're the parent. I'm the child. You solve it how you want to. Look, you want to turn water into wine? I'm down. Either way, we need some wine. I mean, you can laugh at that if you want to. Jesus turned water into wine. But what's the need? Don't tell God how to do it. Do you notice in that story when Jesus goes, first of all, he survived calling his mom woman. But woman, it's not my time. But she did what a good parent did. She turned around and she said, whatever he tells you to do, do it. You know what she just said? We've got a wine problem. It's okay. You can replace wine with whatever you want to. I've got a relationship problem. I've got a money problem. I've got a health problem. I've got to pick your problem. God, you know the need. Whatever you tell me to do, I'll do. You know how weird it was to look at people and tell them to start filling up vats with water? We don't have a water issue, cuz. We got a wine issue. And anybody remember when Elisha calls down fire from heaven, he digs the trough out? And I always thought this. I always thought, well, the reason they filled the little circle around it and put water on it was because, it's so hard to light wet wood. How many of y'all heard that preached? Well, can I tell you something? If you're dropping fire out of heaven, is the water really the thing that flips you out? That wasn't even in the conversation. But what those people had to do was they were in a drought. They had to pour out the thing that they were dependent on to see the move of God that they really needed. Does this make sense? Our journey is about pouring out our reliance on self and seeing our reliance on the Holy Spirit. Jesus looks and he's like, look, I know who I am. And I know the context of Scripture. Matter of fact, verse 7, he says this. And Jesus said to him, again, it's written. That's a punk moment. I'm going to say it again. Anybody ever had to tell your kid again? Anybody ever had a don't test me moment? Any dad ever watched mama tell the kids not to test them? Because it goes like this. Stop. Stop. Boy, don't test me. Because generally it's the boys. Can we just be honest? Till girls become teenagers, that's like, then it's a thing. But at that point, boy, don't test me. I'll smack all them teeth out of your head. Boy, don't. And your sweet, pleasant wife somehow goes, thug. She's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're like, who is this woman that I marry? Because here's the thing. That's the beginning of this. Jesus goes, again. You ever been in a meeting and you're done? And you're like, I'm going to say it one more time. He said, you shall not put the Lord, your God, to the test. He said, don't come at me with twisted scriptures. Don't try to get me to do. Because see, with just the scripture that Satan did, he said, look, man, if you jump off here, the angels will catch you. That's paraphrased. Jesus is like, look, but Scripture also says not to test God. You can't honor one Scripture and violate another. So why do we have to spend time every day in the Word of God? Because there's a lot you got to know. And it's not that you've got to know so that you're holy. You got to know it to survive. Anybody's boss ever tried to trip them up, but you had the email? Hey, look. You in here yelling at me a minute ago for ordering that. But right here you said order that. Yep. Now forgive me for being confused. Which one am I supposed to do? Right. When you go to the enemy and he's trying to go, well, that's not really what God said. You go, whoa. Right here it is, cuz. Hit the road. This ain't the way does this make sense? It's like one of my favorite scriptures, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans the Lord has for you, plans to bless you and prosper you and to give you a hope and a future. So it doesn't matter. Listen, rain falls on the just and the unjust. You're going to have good days. You're going to have days that try you. Welcome to Grown-Upville. What's the difference? I know the plan God has for me. Because what the enemy meant for evil, God will turn to good if I stay faithful and operate in the way that God tells me to. That's the same thing Jesus said. He's like, look, don't test me. Operate in the fullness of what I have. Verse 8, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, I'll give you all these if you will bow down and worship me. Here's the other thing. As you begin to develop in your faith, what a lot of people do is they develop a hierarchy of faith. You ever talk to people and you felt like they were talking down to you because you weren't as spiritual as they were? I mean, here they are. They're Gandalf of the Christian world. They talk in old English. Thee before thou, except after thine. Because what happens is we have to remember the author and the finisher of our faith in our life. You're right with God, not because of anything you ever did. You are made righteous. Things work out on your head. I tell people all the time, favor ain't fair. They're like, Pastor, how did this work out for you? I'm like, because favor ain't fair. Look, everything I've got, let me tell you something, I'm just stewarding it, is all God's. I'll do with it what He tells me to do with it. I'll buy it when He tells me to buy it. I'll sell it when He tells me to sell it. And if He tells me to burn it in a field, I will. Why? Because my only job is to follow the hand of God. Because I get every bit of grace and blessing on my life because God gave it to me. I didn't earn it. Now, here's the thing. This isn't go home and be lazy. Because our natural has to meet God's super to become supernatural, right? So like we have to work in unison with God's plan. Because Scripture even says if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. Great motivation. I'm hungry. Where do broke people go? Work. My son came home one day and said, Dad, I'm broke, man. How do you handle this? And I'm like, call your employer. Call every shift supervisor. Tell them that if they've got an opening, you got time. You ain't got any money to spend. Go to work. Take a blanket. You need to be there a while. Now, God opens the door and gives you the energy to work, but you got to show up. God gives you faith to move mountains, but you have to speak to the mountain. God gives you the ability to break through the funk and demonic attacks, but you have to walk in it. It's not, it's your natural, and God super creates that supernatural breakthrough. And so what we have to do, Proverbs 16, 18 through 20 says this, pride comes before a fall and a haughty attitude before destruction. The quickest way to get God to stop blessing you is to think it has something to do with you. To think you're better than. Listen, everybody who's in the kingdom of God is a sinner saved by grace. Everybody is a broken mess that God put back together. I talked to somebody this week and they said, man, I would love to tell my story with somebody, but I'm afraid it would run them off. And I'm like, look, you don't know people's story in this church. We got some jacked up pasts. That's just the preacher. Man, I don't teach this because I'm better than you. I teach it because I'm passionate about the redemptive power of God. Without God, I would be headed for, if not in hell right now. I was adopted into a family when I didn't have to be. So what I had to do is I had to learn to fight the way the family fought. So here's the thing. You can talk about me all you want to have people talk about me all the time. It's really not all that impressive or hurtful anymore. I got my first piece of hate mail right after we moved in the church. A guy like wrote me this big long letter, everything I did wrong and how unspiritual I was and all that. And so I called the whole team in. I'm like, hey guys. No, for real, didn't I? If you were here, I was like, I got hate mail. Like somebody took the time to photostatic copy stuff, make notes in the margin, fold it up, put it in an envelope, get the address of the church, and mail it to me. I matter. Like the devil doesn't like me doing whatever I'm doing so much that I became that big of a thorn in his flesh, he caused somebody to do that. Whoop, whoop. Like I think that it's about understanding the response inside the family. Now, you can say whatever you want to about me. Don't talk about my wife or my kid. You see a side of me Jesus may or may not have a whole lot to do with. You ever watched a mama, an otherwise normal creature, like at a teacher's meeting or something, and somebody comes at their kid sideways, and you don't know what happened to that sweet woman you married, but her fangs dropped out of her head, and it's raw. Here come the... Like, I'd heard mama bear before. I'd never seen a mama bear before. And they're like climbing tables. And the dad, who's usually the one losing their junk, can I get a witness, is now holding her by the seat of her pants, trying to pull her back into reality before she kills three teachers. And you like, you get back in the car and then there's that awkward silence, right? Like, you good? Come on. I got some women laughing around here. They're like, yeah, that's been me. And here's what they'll do. They'll look at you, and you don't know where this hood rat came from. But your super Caucasian wife, can I just say that? will look at you and go, ain't nobody. They start pulling earrings out. So like, you know. That was not the part of the service I was looking for the amen from. Can I just say this? I talked a lot about Jesus. Didn't get that response. I start talking about pulling earrings out. Amen. Woo! So anyway, so here's what happens. Is that I think that if you're going to be in the family of God, you need to fight like the family. And so he tells Jesus to do this. And Jesus is like, look, I'm not getting in my prideful or haughty attitude. As a matter of fact, I love verse 10. Anybody ever see Tombstone? Okay, great. I'm going to make a reference here in a minute. Jesus said to him, be gone, Satan, for it's written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and you only and him only should you serve. Does anybody remember the part in Tombstone where Doc Holliday is there, and the dude comes up and he takes his gun from him, and they're talking, and he goes, oh, sir, I forgot you're here. You're dismissed. Like, it's such a low-key boss moment. Now, I love that they put that in the text that I have, it doesn't say whether it's really a period or an exclamation mark, because you don't really know the tone of what he's saying. Did Jesus go, be gone? Or did he just dismiss him? You know what I'm saying? Because it's one thing to yell at somebody, because then you've given them authority. It's another thing just to look at somebody and go, I'm done. You can go. Oh, I'm sorry, are you still here? Can you imagine that when the enemy attacks you, if that's your response? Look, I know what God said about me. I'm the head, not the tail. I'm the lender and not the borrower. I'm more than an overcomer. Look, you can come at me, but you're coming at the wrong dude. So if you expect me to panic, I'm not going to panic. If you expect me to flip my wig or show some, if you expect me to go ghetto and start, you know, doing my gun this way, none of that's going to happen. Here's what I believe. I believe that Jehovah Jireh is my provider. I believe that the Lord God will protect me, that he won't let me stumble or fall. I believe that his word is a light to my feet and it will keep my path clear. Here's what I believe. I believe you can go now. And if you stay, I'm just going to have to dismiss you. It's mind over matter. I don't mind because you don't matter. When was the last time the devil showed up? Somebody with a nasty attitude and you just went, I don't really mind. You don't matter. Not that the person doesn't matter, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and rulers. Look, I'm not going to react to you today. Not today, Satan. Wrong guy. You go to a family dinner and somebody's acting a fool, which is guaranteed, by the way. You know what? I don't mind because you don't matter. I'm not looking for your approval. If you don't give me a relationship, God will. You know, the biggest gift God ever taught me was saying bye. Goodbye. Not today. Anybody ever see Four Christmases? Mistletoe, you know it's time to go, right? You need a code word. Look, when it's time to go, go. Listen, don't sit in environments. Anybody ever go to somebody's house and they got a fish bowl and they ain't cleaned it since they bought the fish? And you really want to tell them to watch Nemo? Oh, everything leads to the ocean. But that, there that fish is trying to live and swim in filth. Its own waste, its own mess, algae, all that. Some of you are like, poor fish. Can I say this? A lot of people are swimming in an environment that God didn't call them to live in, but they refuse to get out of the fish tank that they're in and move to fresh water. God said from your belly, from the inside out, should flow rivers of living water. Look, and if you come to pee in my creek, I'm gonna send you out. That you need to look at some people in your life and say, excuse me, sir, you were trying to pee in my creek. And if they try to poop in it, they got to go. It's one thing to pee in the pool. You drop a Hershey Kiss in there. If you owned a pool, would you let people do either one in your pool? huh? You'd be like, are you, what? But yeah. We will, hold on. But in our life, we will let people take a dump on us and walk all over us in these evil and foul spirits without going, no, no, no. And I don't think you got to be mean. Like if I was kicking you out of my pool, I'm not going to grab you with the hair and the shorts. And that's not who I am. But I'm like, hey, excuse me. You need to get out of my, you need to get out of my pool. And until you can learn to act and treat my stuff with respect, because I'm a steward, you need to go somewhere else. When's the last time you looked at the devil or even people you need to release out of your life and go, hey, look, I love you, but you're not going to pee in this anymore. You're not going to pollute what God has given my life to be rivers of living water. I love this. And the devil left. And behold, angels came and were ministering to him. Here's the thing. God always means for the end of your struggle for the Lord to bless you and to build up what the enemy tried to rob. Whatever you think you're going to lose by doing it God's way, God will multiply the blessing back into your life. Last but not least, John 15, 1 and 2, it says this. I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes that it may bear more fruit. God wants to burst something out of you. And if you're staying planted in the wrong soil, you can't grow. In this season of your life, when you've got things that you've got to break through and the enemy's attacking, because the enemy's going to attack you. Can we just say that? Don't be afraid and don't be impressed. You ever notice when one bad thing happens, two, three, four bad things? It's because the enemy's trying to watch and see if you move. Scripture says this, that He's the vine. We've got to stay connected to Him. Now, God's going to prune some stuff off of us through the process that doesn't need to be there. I don't know that I've got enough faith. The only way to get faith is to exercise it. Anybody ever prayed for patience? That's a mistake. God, help me love people more. God's going to send every unlovable person on the face of this earth across you, right? Because you got to prune that. You got to prune your thoughts and get His way. Because your way and His ways aren't the same way. His ways are higher than yours. God, help me to love the unlovely. Help me to see what you see. Help me to, right? And it's going to take me a minute to get in that. Here's what I love about it is we all have a starting line and we go, man, when we give our life to Christ, we start a journey. It's a marathon. You're not going to get everything about God in one service. Or, hey, I read the Bible once. Like, it's about going, okay, God, right now you're calling me to turn the other cheek. I'm not sure I know how to do that. Prune my flesh off of me. Hey, God, you told me to love my neighbor as myself. I don't even know what that means. Maybe I need to learn how to love me before I can love other people. Maybe I just don't like people that much. I need to learn how to love them. Hey, God, I'm not sure that I have faith, so how about you put a mountain in front of me so I have to deal with it? Are these hard prayers? Yeah. You want to know the truth? That's the place the real Jesus lives. And what happens is we put all these things and all these coverings over top of Him to where we don't see the real Him. Here's the truth of today's service that I want you to understand. One, you have to stay connected to the vine. Man, you... Bible study and prayer should not be something we have to teach over and over again. It should be automatic in the life of the believer. That doesn't mean you got to read a whole chapter. Dude, one verse sometimes enough to wreck me. Here's the other thing, is we have to fight like family. You have to fight the way that God fights. Last but not least, you're more than an overcomer. Whatever you're attacked in is a space God's trying to bless you in. The enemy only attacks what he's afraid of. Make sense? So look at the area you're being attacked and begin to rejoice, because weeping endures for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Why? Because breakthrough is coming. Like when stuff starts breaking around our house, I'm like, ooh, we about to get the new stuff in Jesus' name. I'm not sure how this is going to work, but you said it worked for my benefit. Either somebody going to fix it, or God, if you got to airdrop one in, we about to get a new something. Because you said that you're my Jehovah Jireh, you're my provider. Hey, God, you know what? I the doctor told me I got, you know, the walking purple monkey flu. Well, you know what? Here's what I know. You're the God that healeth me. I just went King James on you and put an "if" in it. So I don't know what you face. I'm going to make you a promise. The real Jesus, that's the answer and the response. Can we pray? Father, as we wrap today's service up, God, I guess the place that we always need to start is by looking into our own heart. The only way that we can have the promises of God are to have the relationship with God. So if you're here today and you're watching online or whatever, and you're like, you know what, Pastor, I would love to have the things that you're talking about, but I'm not where I'm supposed to be with God. If today is your day of salvation, is the day you repent from your sins, if today is the day that you turn from the way you've been doing it towards the way that God wants you to do it, will you just slip your hand up? We're not going to embarrass you. Thank you so much. I just want to pray with you. Anybody else? Thank you so much. Can we pray together across this house? Dear Heavenly Father, right now I invite you into my life. Ask you to forgive me of my sins. Make me right with you. In Jesus' name. Father, right now I just pray over every person that's here. God, will you let us fight with the weapons that you gave us, God? Not fighting like the world does and not seeing people like the world does. But God, let us fight spiritual things a spiritual way. God, open our eyes that we can see what's really going on around us and respond the way you'd have us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for being part of our Thrive Tribe. If you want to partner with this ministry and what the Lord is doing here at Thrive, visit thrivechurchonline.com and click on the Give tab. Help us reach more people just like you by rating and subscribing to this podcast. You don't want to miss what's coming next.